Blog Talk Radio.
America, wherever you are most welcome to the show. If you wish to participate in this educative show, we want you to text your questions to 347-286-1716. Once again, you can text us your questions and participate in this show. So 347-286-1716. You can also call 323-642-1503. Today we are going to be talking about the key role of education in the development process of Liberia. And in order to fully discuss this topic, we invited three distinguished personalities to come and grace this occasion to be able to help us address this issue. And tonight we have Mr. Satchel Kawe from the United States of America. We also have Ms. Erica David, who is also from the United States of America. And we also have Mr. Eugene Facon, who is also from the United States of America. We are going to give each of them 2 minutes each to introduce themselves. And when they are through, we are going to take a break. So wherever you are, we want you to sit tight, because tonight's discussion is going to be a vital one to the education system of Liberia. At this show, we find solutions and make recommendations to the Liberian education system. Let us now take a break.
Gonna be down. No, I'm not gonna let the devil, you know,
the Holy Spirit,
arrest. love may come my way. Sometimes I get up confused and don't know what to say. I've got to keep up my faith, be strong and believe. God is sitting right there above, taking control of my life.
Each person is going to have 2 minutes each to tell the people of Liberia who they are and what they're really involved in. So at this time, we're going to firstly bring in Mr. Eugene Facon to introduce himself to the people of Liberia. You are live in studio, Mr. Facon. Is Mr. Facon online? All right, we're going to come back to Mr. Eugene Facon. We're now going to take our next guest in studio. We're going to go to Mr. Satu Kawi. If you all, we want you to introduce yourself. Take 2 minutes of your time. You are live in studio.
Hey, thank you. First of all, thank you for the opportunity you have afforded me to be on your show. My name is Satu Kawi. I'm a Liberian. I consider myself an independent thinker. I ran as a representative during the 2011 election for Mosorado County. I ran as an independent candidate, and I consider myself as someone that is eager for change in Liberia. My background is I have 2 masters, one in Quality International Studies, emphasis on peace and conflict. Another one is in Development Studies. I'm right now working on my PhD. So I'm very happy to be, you know, participating on your shows. I'm looking forward to discussing issue of national concern. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kawi, for giving us that impressive resume of you and then also telling us how you've been an agent of change. Well, we are also excited to have you here tonight, and we believe we're going to have a healthy discussion. These discussions are very thought-provocative, and we give everyone the opportunity to introduce themselves. So once more, thank you for being on. Now, we want to go on to Mr. Facon. If you are there, we want you to introduce yourself. You have 2 minutes to tell the Liberian people what are you doing and what you're involved in, sir?
Thank you, Brother Duque. Can you hear me?
You are live in studio.
Thank you very much. I'd like to greet Brother Seltu and the distinguished lady, or my fellow panelists. I also like to extend greetings to the people of Liberia and those that are listening right now in Radio Land. And to you, Brother Duque, and all of your hardworking team, I'd like to thank all of you for the opportunity afforded the Liberian people to be able to chart their own course by way of dialogue. I am a Liberian. I hail from Tuttenberg, Bonin County, where I was born. I attended the St. Dominic's Catholic School. By then, it was St. Margaret's Catholic School. I attended the University of Liberia. Whilst in the U.S., I have studied in the various disciplines of general education, social work, philosophy, and political science, both at the Northeast State Technical College and that of the East Tennessee State University. I am happy to be on this program tonight because it affords me the opportunity to talk about something that is so dear to my heart, and that is about education in the developmental process of the Republic of Liberia. I look forward to all of us coming together and discussing this issue. Currently, I am an advocate and an activist, and I am an independent Liberian politician and also a member of the All Liberian Party. So I would like to thank you and your able team once again for affording us the opportunity to be part of a discourse that hopefully will yield some fruitful results. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Falcone, for honoring our invitation, and we're looking forward to bringing each of you back again to be able to contribute to the education development of Liberia. At this show, we find solutions and we make recommendations for the Liberian education system. Well, not to waste any time, we are going to bring on the only lady on this panel, Miss Erica Davis. We want you to introduce yourself. You have 2 minutes. Tell the Liberian people why you were here for today.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for welcoming me on your show. My name is Erica Davies, and I am the co-founder of an organization called It Takes a Village Africa. And we started out with It Takes a Village Liberia. We've been running this organization for about 9 years. Our major focus is community development. It's a nonprofit organization that we provide self-sufficient solutions for education, healthcare, and agriculture. We have a farm, and we teach farmers how to farm, and we market them so they'll be able to sell their products in the marketplace as well. We are in the process of building a school, so we'll be able to teach the children and incorporate farming so they'll be able to learn how to grow their own food. Because self-sufficiency, I feel like, is a major thing that needs to be incorporated in Liberia. We have partnered in the healthcare aspect of our organization. We have partnered with health providers in Ghana, Liberia, Congo, Togo, and is not limited to America as well. We have partnered with physicians here in the top universities. And about me, I've been an ordained minister for about 10 years. I counsel rape victims, and I'm a mother. And that's my number one job is to be a mother and take care of the children that I have and the children that I'm going to have as well.
Thank you so much, Ms. Davis. We are so pleased to have you on tonight, and we believe the many work you're doing in the Liberian community, Africa as a whole, will yield a lot of good results. Tonight, we are also impressed to have these 3 distinguished personalities. Not to waste time, the key role of education in the development process of Liberia. We want to remind you that we have 5 questionnaires that we're going to be throwing out to our guests. And each of them going to fully answer these questions. We are also going to bring in our listeners and participants as well. Those who have questions, they're going to post them directly to you guys. They're going to have your names attached to that. And our operators and the Tuazaman Initiative and the Radio NEMA International, they are doing their best to keep this station on and running. We also want to recognize them at this moment. So we believe that education in every sense is one of the fundamental factors of development. No country can achieve sustainable economic development without substantial investment in human capital. So there we have called you to get your opinion about education. So we want to first of all start up with Mr. Sati Kawia. Tell us, what is your own opinion about the key role of education in the development process of Liberia?
Oh, thank you again for having me on your show. No doubt, education is actually the tools that we can use to develop post-war Liberia. There are numerous benefits with regards to education. You have the economic benefit. With education, you have increased employment opportunities. You have salary increment. You have greater productivity and national development in all domains. So education is very important. You have social and political benefits of education. The more people get educated, the more country move towards reducing illiteracy, improving people's lives, you know, family, get a secure job and stuff. We talk about a human capital and professional development. Right now, with post-conflict Liberia, we have the issue of the capacity building. With education, that alone, with more money pouring into the educational sector, and we have the rightful strategy, we can increase our human capacity. Also, we talk about the issue of scientific benefit. I'm talking about we having students that know a lot about technology, know about science. I mean, we are in this new millennium where the issue of scientific, you know, and technology is very vital. So education is very important for Liberia. I am sickened by the fact that our government, and I'm not picking on them and stuff, that the sector, the educational sector, hasn't been funded well.
So, Mr. Cosby, we are listening, and you have over 4,000 listeners from around the world listening to you as well. And having said that, education is very fundamental to the development and how the government has not been doing so well to develop education as well. So do you want to tell us why and what are some strategies you would like to recommend to them as well?
Well, I don't know why, because the days of all keep blaming our shortcoming on the Civil War, I think it's over. I think we need to spend more on education and less on political salary, politician salary. If you look at the sector right now, educational sector, 3% of our existing national budget is going towards the educational sector, which is sad because the Education for All initiative estimate that at least 15% of your budget should be allocated to education. We are not doing that. So then we complain about our students are failing. We're complaining about our school system in deplorable state. We are not funding education. So instead of us spending so much on recurring expenditure, we need to focus on capital expenditure, which kind of like goes towards education, raise the bar to help our teachers, give them the tools, you know, instead of just spending heavy on politicians. Now, my solution with regards to that is it goes along with what I'm saying. Spend more on education, increase our educational expenditure from 3% to at least 15% so it can meet the world standard as a post-conflict society. You cannot, we can discuss all of this, but it's not possible for us to reduce the size of classroom, tension rate, all of that, with all not funding the sector. So funding is very, very important.
So, Mr. Cosby, you raised a significant point right there. And we want to bring in the next colleague, Mr. Facon. You see, because if we cannot support education, we will not go anywhere. We believe that education can improve the quality of our citizen lives. and
exactly.
leads to a broad social benefit to individuals and society. So, Mr. Falcone, what is your own opinion when it comes to the role of education in the development process of Liberia, sir?
Thank you, Dr. Dekay. Let me start by saying education plays a key role in the socioeconomic and political development of any nation, typically in the health sector, be it in the agricultural sector, be it in human resource development, be it the list goes on. If you want to talk about an economy that you want to build, you can't build an economy, a vibrant economy, in the absence of having a greater human resource development, that is educating your workforce, your citizens. You cannot move into the technologically advanced period of the 21st century having people not even knowing how to turn on a computer or reboot one, so to speak. Now, I listened to Seltu and he made a very salient point. The roles might be too many for us to list here. All we can say that it is vital, it is key in the development of any nation. And I think if you listen to even the candidates here in America, they're stressing the importance of education because it is the inevitability of any vibrant nation. And so they are pounding on the issue of even free college education, free tuition, and even getting more Americans involved in education, science and technology, for example. And so to answer your question, you will come back to me. I will tell you the same thing, that it is key. It is vital in moving the country forward. The main question is, how do we go about getting to this point where we can use education if we say it is the key, if we say it is the way forward for our country? How can we make it happen? And so to touch on that point when he said move within the budget, the allotment of 3% for education to that of 15% so that we can compete. Well, I will take it from a different perspective and add up to what he said. We just don't want you to move the percentage. Let's make sure that we have no child left behind. Let's make sure that we have quality education. With quality education comes with real training of our teachers and making sure that we provide the tools for them to work with in educating our children. We need to structure our educational system in a way that we break the very barriers that have got you and I came today. And I hope maybe subsequently, if we go forward, you'll give me the opportunity to share with you what is happening in our educational system that makes it look in a certain way that is not acceptable to world standards right now. And I would like to go forward, but I would like to pause because I say it's bearing to my heart that I want to say something to the Liberian people tonight.
Thank you so much, Mr. Falcone. Education is bearing to your heart, and education means a whole lot to the Liberian people. We want to bring in our tech guest tonight. She's a lady. And we just want to raise a little issue before bringing her in. We believe that education raises people's productivity and creativity. It just doesn't stop it. It also promotes entrepreneurship and technological advances. So if Liberia can pay a serious attention in developing its human resources and its education sector, we are going to go far. So, Ms. Erica, we want to bring you in before we can even jump into the serious aspect of this show. We want you to tell us what is your own opinion when it comes to the key role of education in a development process of Liberia. Ms. Erica, are you there? Okay, I think we lost Erica, and we're going to try to get her back. But let's come back to Mr. Kawi. Mr. Kawi, we find out that our government has not been doing so much, and the legislatures are not passing laws to support education. We have an education ministry that is not doing extremely well. our teachers are not trained. They just do whatever they want to do, and it's a serious predicament. But I was just told that Miss Ericott is back on. Miss Ericott, if you were following us, would you just answer that question? Will you just come in and tell us before we go to Mr. Cowley?
Oh, okay. Yes. Like I was saying, education is the key. I feel like if we was to put more resources and a lot more people that's in America, the expatriates will go back and be able to participate in educating our children and educating, participating in adult literacy, will be able to compete with other countries as well. And if our population is not educated, it brings all types of different things. It brings in people coming in to exploit our children, to exploit our adults, to take advantage of our senior citizens. It also brings in, what is it, domestic slavery. I feel like there's no reason why Liberians should be getting paid $100 a month for 40 hours of a week work. I feel like that's part of slavery. And that's the reason why they're doing this is because they're not educating the Liberian people. So that's my take on it.
Thank you so much, Ms. Davis, Ericott, for giving that a significant point, because it seems to be that somebody not doing the job. It seems to be that our government is not having the right people to do the right job. We want to come over to Mr. Carrier, because you raised a significant point, and then also to Mr. Falcon. Now, what is your opinion about administrative actions relating to the flow of students, the size of class, and the use of space and facility which points to the weight of achieving eternal efficiency within the Liberian education system?
That's a good question, and I'll take it from here. The problem with Liberia is that Liberia is not poor, but Liberia is poorly managed. It boils down to funding, like I said before. Size of a class matter. Numerous research have proven over the years that if a kid learn more.
Mr. Kawi, can I just hold order for a while? We have a caller from Liberia.
Okay.
With a phone number of 525-6010, you are live. Do you have a question or comment for our guest and student? Hello to our caller from Liberia. You are live. This is the Education Talk Show with Dr. Emmanuel Dekir. Did we lose our caller? For the last time, you are live? All right. So it seems to be we lost our caller. We're going to get back to our operator. But let us say, Mr. Calvin, would you just perpetuate with what you were saying?
Yeah, like I was saying, the size of a class matter. Numerous research have supported this, that kids learn more and more in an effective small class rooms. It's a fact. Numerous research have proven that. But it all comes down to what I've been saying earlier, funding. The reason you're having crowding at our institution, from the elementary, junior high, senior high, all come down to funding. Take, for instance, public school. You have this so-called compulsory free education that is going on right now in Liberia. Everybody want to go to that school. There's no funding. So you cannot have, like, I remember when I was growing up, we used to have, if you're in the 12th grade, you have 12-1, 12-2, 12-3, you know, on and on. Now you got one classroom. Because of no funding, everybody is in that classroom. I started.
So, Mr. Carrier, now, Ms. Erica David, do you agree with Mr. Carrier when he said that education in Liberia is being underfunded?
Yeah, I mean, they did that. I mean, I'm not in that sector. I don't know what's going on with that. But from what I see, I feel like it needs to be more more money and more training. I feel like the key is to train the teachers. The teachers need more training, and they need to get paid, which will eliminate the corruption. My son, I actually moved to Liberia, and my son was going to a school, and the teachers there will try to talk and say, hey, you got to give this amount of money because this, or you're not going to get this grade if you don't give this type of money. That's the type of corruption that is messing up the country. It's starting from our children, that they're corrupting the children by showing them that it's a good thing for them to pay for grades. So, yeah, it needs to be some more money to be allocated for the teachers to pay them because they are teaching our children. So, yes, he's correct.
Okay. Before I get come to Mr. Kaye, let's bring Mr. Facon in. Mr. Facon, Mr. Kaye said that Liberia is not a poor country. Do you agree with him?
Thank you very much. That's something I've been preaching for many, many years. I think I told you in some of my videos that has been viewed by over 8,000 people that I've brought your president into disrepute. The truth of the matter is that Liberia has always been a rich country. And like, you know, Felton said, the issue is with poor management. For example, let me repeat on this station tonight again. Liberia was the world's largest producer of iron ore. If you know what that means, the entire world, the world's largest producer of iron ore. You have NIMBA with LAMCO, Liberian American Mining Company. You have Bone County with Bone Mines. You have Titmouth with National Iron Ore Company. You have Bomi with Liberian Mining Company. I don't need to continue. Liberia was the world's largest producer of iron ore at the time when iron ore was in demand, that the world was looking for iron ore to make tanks and ammunition and weapons and everything. Today, Liberia is the world's fourth poorest nation. Liberia was the world's largest producer of rubber at the time when rubber was in demand. Not like now, when you have recycling going on, every plastic bottle is collected from your door, Dr. Decay, so rubber has no significance. But however, we are number three to Singapore and Malaysia. Liberia was the world's largest producer of rubber. Liberia had the world's two largest producing companies of tires, Firestone and BF Goodrich, what you now know today as Guthrie. Liberia is the world's fourth poorest nation. Liberia has
Mr. Facon, now before we come back to Mr. Kaye, you told us initially from the show that you have a message for the people of Liberia. You seem to be well knowledgeable and well informed. What is the message you have? Do you believe that the Liberian government support education? Do they believe in education? Do they believe in the next generation to come?
No, and this was something I was trying to point to when I was making that point. Imagine a very wealthy country has never invested in human resource development. And you would think for any reason that this government of so-called educated people, the so-called progressives, would have invested in the human resource development of the country so as to bring about poverty reduction, bring about an increase in the food yield, that is, in the agriculture sector, and calm down on the health problems that we face. You would think that they would invest in education. That has not been the case. So to answer your question, the Liberian government have not done enough because they lack the vision of what the 21st century looks like in terms of education and the role, the vital role that education plays. Now, the message I have for Liberians is that it's time for new thinking, new possibilities,
and new innovation. Dr. Dake, the school I went to is still in Liberia today, and it was not built with cement blocks. It was built by myself speaking on this program. Father Garrett Jenkins is still in Tuttenberg. The Dominic Catholic School produced several Liberians in international circles, to include Jerry Anna, Foreign Affairs, and Nedley Mason from Planning, so many people, including myself. That school, we built that school 46 years ago. 46 years ago. And the school is still in Bonny producing students. We use Bay Black and Civic. And yet it has produced so many leaders. I put the question to you, even though you are a moderator. Do we have tsunamis in Liberia? Do we have tornadoes? Do we have hurricanes? Do we have monsoon? Why must we build classrooms with cement blocks before we can have classrooms? Do we have timber and lumber? We do. Why do we need to have specific plywood from the United States to be able to put zinc over the building? Why are our children staying in thatched houses? Go to my school in Birmingham today. 46 years ago, the school was built with dirt blocks, and the school is there, and the school has put up more students for 46 years, and it's still standing good enough. So have government funded schools? No, because government wants to tell you that it will require $150,000 to $300,000 to build four classrooms, when in fact that is a lie. Involve the people.
Well,
here is my message again when I say it's time for new innovation, new thinking, and new possibilities. Should we be looking around and looking at our children? How will a person graduate from high school and not know how to say ABC? So should we be able to use what we call national service to get every high school student that comes out of high school to get into our country and make sure that no child is left behind? Yes, we can do that. Because all they will be doing is teaching children in study classes. So that means children go to school from 8 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock. And then they take a 2 hour break and go to study class. And the students who graduated from high school and will be teaching these children from K-1 to about third grade and lesson after the first year will now go back to their villages, town that it came from, and go to a higher institution of learning where their first year will be free. I have a lot of things to say to you. That's not the only issue. We're just beginning.
What a powerful message. What a powerful message. It's time for Liberians to be innovative, new thinking. Now, we want to just pause you over there for a little while, and let's come to Mr. Kari. Mr. Kari, now you have an education ministry that supersedes education in Liberia. You have a young education minister that is working tirelessly to make sure that education is vital to the Republic of Liberia. Recently, we heard about some contracts that have been a deal that is on a discussion.
Oh.
What's your own opinion about this? Because we're talking about education development.
Well, before I answer that question, I just want to our sister just said she made a very, very important point with teacher accepting bribe and here and there. If you have a senator and a representative collecting over $5,000 a month in Liberia, and you have a teacher that is making $140 a month, when salary of a politician far exceeds that of an educator in a post-conflict society, something is seriously wrong. Something is very, very seriously wrong. And until we fix it, we can have all the policy in place, we will still be where we are. I got the news that the education ministry is trying to outsource. I mean, it's disheartening just the thought of you saying that our minister, the education ministry, is outsourcing. That alone tells you that this government have failed in revising the educational sector in Liberia. I'll give you an example. In 2006, Dr. Joseph Koto, he was appointed as Minister of Education. This guy ran for president during the election. He never delivered. Never delivered. Matter of fact, he was suspended. And this is a man that have a PhD, that have educational background. What did his president do? She got rid of him, brought in another lady, Miss Stop It. This lady said she couldn't even work at the educational ministry because she said the place was filthy. So she was working at some sub office in Sinclair.
Mr. Cowie, let's just hold you right over there because we are seeing some inconsistency within the education system. So it seems to be that the government has not been very consistent in keeping
Exactly.
But let me speak on this topic. I'm sorry. Let me not interrupt. But I can't speak or I cannot have y'all talk about Ms. Tabitha because when I went to Liberia, she really helped me out a lot. When nobody else wanted to help me in getting the paperwork for the school, she even gave me plans to build the school.
Do you agree with Mr. Kyle when he spoke about the former education minister? Do you agree with him when he said that?
I mean, she helped me. When I came to Liberia, I told her, I'm Liberian. I'm new to the country, and this is my plan. I have the land. She called everybody out of her office. She sat down, she spoke to me, and she gave me school plans.
She gave me a curriculum. Ms. Dennis, that is an individual case. We are speaking in terms of a collective case here.
I'm saying about her. I can't talk about everybody else, but I'm talking about her.
Okay, so let's come back. You see, this is a one-hour show. The show is coming to a point that is becoming very interesting. Now, before we can go back to our panelists, we want to take a break. And when we come right back, we're going to ask our panelists to just tell us, you know, what are some of the inconsistencies within the role of education and development in Liberia? Let us now take a break.
Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. He's worthy to be praised. The Bible says from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sea, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the north, east, west, and south, wherever you are, come, let's give God the praise.
We have three distinguished personalities here, and they are here to answer your questions And if you have comments, you can please send them in. You can form part of the show by texting us your question at 347-286-1716. Once again, you can send us your question. So 347-286-1716. You can also call us directly and form part of the show at 323-642-1503. Tonight, our studio guests are pointing out the inconsistencies within the Liberian education system. Mr. Falcon came out. He said that this government have no regard for education. Mr. Calvin pointed out that our government have been so inconsistent with appointing its officials to head the higher education institution within Liberia. And it's very vital because these points they are raising, they are very cardinal to the role of education within development of Liberia. Now, Ms. Davis, we want to come back to you and then we can go to Cali. You point out some things about the former education minister. You said she was very functional, and she even helped you when you went to Liberia. We want you to address this question. Do you have any knowledge about the new education deed that is about to take place in Liberia? Do you think it's going to be vital to the role of education within development within Liberia?
I do not know. I do not know if it's going to be a good thing. I mean, my intuition, and I'm going by intuition and my feelings, is not by expertise. And also, if you look at the statistics for the other reports that came, I don't know if it's going to be a good deal. But if they have faith in it and they're speaking to whoever they're speaking to, maybe it's going to work. But I don't think that's the answer. I feel like we need to be able to go to the root of what's the real problem in the educational sector, which is educating our teachers.
Now, Mr. Collier, do you really believe what you're saying? Now, to just expand that question, do you think the education minister is going to succeed in developing education in Liberia?
No, I don't think so. And I may sound very pessimistic, but I'm looking at the facts. I'm looking at the evidence that I've been following what's been happening. I strongly believe they ain't ready yet. And I wasn't really beating on Ms. Tappet. What I was saying was the level of inconsistency says with regards to the president appointment. The president went to work and fired the deputy minister, the assistant minister, everybody, and then appointed Ms. Tappet. Ms. Tappet inherited a broken system, just like how this present minister right now is. He inherited a broken system. And for him to fix it, he's going about it the wrong way. Because we need our students and those guys that are trying to be teachers to be provided the tools. We have the Rural Teacher Training Institute. That institution is vital.
What is he doing that is wrong? You know, you have 4,000 people listening to you tonight. What is this?
It's like me saying I cannot take care of my house problem. I have an issue in my house, and I cannot solve it. So I'm going to another person to come and solve the issue in my house. But remember, when the person leaves, the issue still persists. That's what he's doing. Offshoring, educational.
This minister This minister brought in a proposal when he took office that he was going to develop the education system. Not only that, he was going to renovate schools. Our school system is going to be the best in Africa, and we all were happy. Now he's
those
about
are all
also education in Liberia. So now you see. Now, Mr. Falco, do you agree that the education minister is going to succeed in education development in Liberia?
Honestly, I don't think so, because he doesn't have a comprehensive strategy. He doesn't have a comprehensive educational strategy. Look, we need to focus on the system. You know, and the problem with Liberian educational system, it compound across the entire educational system. So outsourcing our education, you know, and doing all of this, it's not going to solve the problem.
So he's
not going to solve the problem.
So if I'm hearing you right, he's totally wrong. And outsourcing education in Liberia would be extravagant with our resources. And those are points that I'm very sure he monitors in the show. And he listened. What would be some of the recommendations you want to make? Let us bring in Mr. Falcon. Mr. Falcon, why is education ministry is going to fail?
Well, it's not why he's going to fail. He's trying to get out of a failed system. And you cannot get out of a hole by digging your way faster, because you'll
exactly.
be going down. And what I want to point out here is that you have to look at the source of the problem. The question that I've been waiting for from you tonight, Dr. Dickey, was why is Liberia's educational system on the back burner? Why is education so backwards in Liberia? If we can find the problem or the source of the problem, then we can find a solution to the problem. But if we keep jumping in the middle,
don't you think that outsourcing our education system will expose our education system, and we're going to be able to bring in people.
No, it's not going to help you. It's the same thing that's been happening from time to time, and we keep doing the same thing. Here is the
exactly.
problem. You want to address the Liberian educational system? It has to come from within Liberia. Let me say something. I don't know how long your show will last tonight, so let me take this thing off my hat. You have a pen.
Go ahead, sir.
Seltu has a pen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ms. Kutu has a pen, Ms. Davis. And I want you guys to take your pen. When I went to school, something that I hope when I get into the country, I will convince Liberians to do away with. When I went to school, when they said you were doing social studies, you had take your pen and just mark a stroke for one subject each. A young Liberian student, maybe in the 8th grade, 7th grade, this is a man you want to learn for social studies. You want him to learn history, geographic,
mm-hmm.
and civics. Then you also got him doing English. In English, he's doing literature, vocabulary, English language, and reading. That's 7 subjects right there. Then you go to math. You got him doing arithmetic, geometry, algebra, trigonometry. That's 11 subjects right there. Then you go to science. You got him doing physics, chemistry, and biology for a total of 14 subjects. Now, let me add the other ones, and maybe each of these subjects have one teacher each, or some of them have 3 teachers. It don't matter to me. That's 14 subjects. Then they will add in the school curriculum physical education. You'll be telling your friends, my man, you did your PE today? You went to PE class? No, how you in trouble? All right? So that's 15. In the Christian schools, the religious schools, then you have to do Bible or what we call Christian doctrine. If you went to the Episcopal school or the Catholic school or the Methodist school. Then you have to do spelling. If you miss it, you show your palm, they whip you 10. Then you have to do agriculture. And then for the girls have to do home economics. Add it all together, that's 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 subjects. Do you think it was necessary then? Do you actually think it was necessary to put a child in the 6th grade or 7th grade to such? We claim we borrow it from the American system. But even today in the American system, I have a 16-year-old daughter in the 11th grade. She's doing 4 subjects right now. What's the problem with Liberia? Why is Liberian educational system so backward? Why is Liberia
Do we have a system in Liberia? Do we have an
education? No, we're done. And that's the part I'm coming to. We're done. But the reason, the chief reason for this, if you look at Liberia as a country, and you hear people say, Dr. Dickey, that 85, 80, or 70%, whatever the research shows them, of the population is illiterate, this system was designed to keep people in the situation in which they find themselves today,
elected. Mm-hmm. But the 15%, just like Seltu said, the 15% can pay themselves so well, create income disparity, and continue to override the 85%. Because as long as they keep uneducated, these people are able to advance their agenda. What are we proposing? Exactly. What are the recommendations that we're making to these people? We're saying to you, to the Liberian people, look, listen, the same thing I said, let's teach our children how to read and write vigorously from K-1 straight to 6th grade. So that from 6th grade to 9th grade, people like Ms. Davis can sit down with them and say, what do you want to do in the future? And that person say, I want to fly a plane. So we know that that person will have to focus on math and science.
Mr. Eugene Falcon, we are sorry, and to our guest, you know, this show is a one-hour show. We just have 2 more minutes left, and, you know, we have an air time that we're operating on. We just want to give you 3 minutes each so that you can just give your closing statement or closing argument, then we can close the show. But I can assure you that we are going to bring you back so that we can discuss this issue because it's very significant for the role of education and the developmental process of Liberia. Let us now start with Ms. Davis. Now, it's 30 seconds each, please. Ms. Davis, are you there?
Hello? Oh, yes, I'm here, yes.
Yeah, you have 30 seconds to just make a closing comment on IQMA.
Okay, well, I just want to say that I love Liberia, and my organization is Village Africa, and we are welcoming volunteers, anybody who wants to be a part of this, because it actually does take a village to raise the child, and it takes a village to uplift the community as well. And I want to say thank you for inviting me on the show, and I'm looking forward to coming on your show again. Thank you.
We are pleased to have you, Ms. Davis. Thank you so much for coming. Now we're going to turn to Ms. Kawi, and we're going to give him 30 seconds as well.
Thank you. In closing, I just want to say we need to invest more in education. We need more financing. In a country where representative and senator making more and teacher making less, there is an issue. We need a quality educational system that I'll put the student first. I'll give you an example. Burundi adopted a system called Eco Fundamental. That system put in place a learning environment in which teacher and student are interacting together with government, doing the financing, also with the help of international partners. We need to increase our budget from 3% to at least 15% to regards to the educational sector. With that in mind, then we can start the right, we can formulate the policy in moving our educational system forward. I want to say thank you for having me, and thank you to all the guests. I appreciate you guys. Liberia first. We love Liberia.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kawi. We are pleased to have you as well. We're going to bring each of you back into the studio so that we can discuss these issues because they are very vital to education development in Liberia. Now, we want to go to our last guest, Mr. Falcon. You have 30 seconds, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Dike. Thank you to members of the panel, and thank you to those listening in Liberia, and to you, the Liberian people. I want you to remain strong. Help is on the way, and help is coming soon. So, Dr. Dekay, you know how important this is to me. You and I have been talking that we will champion the course for critical thinking to be introduced in Liberian schools. It's a course by itself, and every Liberian
Absolutely.
Student that graduates from high school should have some critical thinking knowledge, okay? And so I look forward to coming back on your program anytime, even at short notice, because if we agree that education – it's important in moving Liberia forward. In fact, it's the number one tool to moving Liberia forward. Then we need to talk about it, and I'm ready to talk about it anytime. Thank you for having me, and thank you to all of you that listened to the program tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Falcon, and all of your guests, thank you as well. Before we close the show, I want to recognize the Ohim's family, the Twazamans, Development Initiative, the Radio NIVA International, for giving us an airtime, 1 hour airtime, to be able to discuss education, to be able to find solutions and new recommendations to the Liberian education system. We want to see you next Monday night at 9:30 Eastern Time. We're going to be right in studio discussing another thought-provocative topic about Liberia. I want to thank you, all of our listeners in Liberia, in America, and different parts of the world. We want you to tune in. May God bless you, and may God bless the Republic of Liberia. Thank you.